We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Danger, danger, danger. Everybody's going to own this. And great things happen when people own things.
When we line up and play, I'm not worried about 2 years from now. We're not trying to win down the road.
He's heating up.
We want to try to win as fast as we can.
Some people do the easy way out. I want to challenge myself. I want to be a part of this organization, and I want to see the moment.
I want the city to know that they have a guy that's passionate about this team, that's passionate about this city.
I can only imagine, you know, we're coming from where we was last year to one of the most winningest teams going to next season. I want to be a part of that.
Everybody going to think Jacksonville is going to be yada, yada, yeah, it's an easy win. No, when you go up against Jacksonville, you better think twice before you watch your mouth when you come to us.
He's on fire!
Round one, fight.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if I'm not mistaken, a wise man once said,
it's always been us versus them.
Danger.
The national media never liked us from the beginning. Never gave a damn about us.
They be having pressure for Duval.
Big pressure.
But guess what?
What's up?
Who wanna eat a W?
Keep that energy
way over yonder.
We're gonna own this thing. When I say we, I mean everybody. That's our stadium. I'm done hearing about other fans coming in our stadium. Gotta stop. This is our city, and this is our team. Own it.
He's heating up.
Come on, somebody.
Ooh, ooh.
Lawrence drops. Fires the left corner of the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. The give to James Robinson. He's into the end zone. Touchdown.
Anybody can do it when there's no pressure. The great ones can do it when they're about to get hit in the mouth.
It's Trevor. It's a quarterback draw. Trevor Watt's going to walk into the end zone. Touchdown. A quarterback draw and an easy touchdown for Trevor Lawrence.
Duval. Let's go, Jacksonville. Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. Duval.
Come on, somebody.
Perfect. Supreme victory.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DeRocco.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. ET always asks you, who want to eat a W? Tony, I ask you, who want to eat a warm breakfast sandwich?
Mm-hmm.
By the time this segment's over, it's going to be too late because, you know, somebody's responsible for bringing in piping hot breakfast on time enough for us to eat the damn breakfast before the show.
Mm-hmm. My donuts are fine.
Yeah, D-Rock. Is this some kind of not-so-silent protest?
No. Wow, those are terrible.
Are they?
Good.
Wow. Those must have been in there since last Thursday.
Is that right?
That's a shame.
I'm glad you got those. My sourdough, whatever the heck it was.
It's supposed to be old-fashioned.
No,
we had a little bit of a holdup at the Dunkin' today.
Mm.
You saw a holdup at the Dunkin'?
I did.
What?
I did. I got holded up.
Let's play telephone, shall we?
Yes. No, I apologize. It's a little late today, fellas. I have no excuse. Much like last week's picks, I have no excuse.
Yeah. Tony spotted you at tight end and beat you Monday night.
Yes, he did.
Old Darren Waller didn't make
when
the
I
field.
Saw
that was fun.
I felt really good about my chances until Monday morning dawned, and then I realized, uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
That's kind of like the reset now. Everybody's bought breakfast at least one time this year, Taylor three times. But Taylor's on a little bit of a hot streak right now, so we'll do breakfast bowl drafting later on. D-Rock was the big loser. I think that's how they say that up in Boston area, where they also refer to Dunkin' Donuts as Dunkin'.
The Dunkin'. I think.
Oh, is that what they say?
I think
it's just Dunkin'. But I don't know. I don't hang out in those regions. I would have thought it was just Dunkin'. But maybe it is the Dunkin'. So
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know
either. How's your week, D-Rock?
My week's fine.
Good.
Yeah, you?
That's fantastic. You and I played golf a week ago. So
we did.
Wasn't that bad.
No, you know? It was great. We had a good time.
Trevor was out there playing with us, not with us, but in the vicinity of us last week, enjoying a little downtime.
Sure,
on the bye week. Why not?
Yeah, it's bye week.
You get some time off.
Yeah.
About to hit the links.
If I were him, I probably would have paid like or played like four or five times over that.
You may have
to cram it in because he's got 11 straight weeks.
By the way, we didn't see him, but no. Rumor was the quarterback room was out there in Ponte Vedra swinging the sticks last week. Good for them. So, all right, today trade deadline is approaching, but Tony, as you know, we got keys to victory tomorrow.
We do.
We've got Monday's reaction Monday. Tuesday's check the tape Tuesday. So this seemed like an appropriate time.
Mm-hmm.
To find out what's on people's minds in terms of the trade deadline as it approaches right here. So we'll get to that here momentarily. What's up with my man E.T. in there? How you doing, E.T.?
What they do, baby?
How are you? Everything good?
Everything is peachy.
What does your shirt say?
It's the alphabet.
Oh, it's just the alphabet? All right.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E. That's as far as I'm going on that. Speaking of shirts, I guess we found out Tony ran out of Brave shirts. Is that what happened?
No. The Braves have an off day today.
Oh, it's an off day. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought they had an off day yesterday.
No, it'll be back tomorrow.
All right. Just checking. Nate Burleson going to join the program, E? Is that what I hear?
Yeah, man. He's doing his CBS Good Morning thing, and he texted me. He said, yeah, I got you, dog.
I got you, dog.
Appreciate that.
That's good. he'll join us here in about 15 minutes coming up, and we'll break down Seattle, Jacksonville. D-Rock, how do you feel about the just in general? We'll get into it, but do you feel like there's a realistic chance to make it two in a row this week?
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't think Geno Smith is anywhere close to the same level as Russell Wilson. Breaking news there. But they've traditionally struggled on the West Coast. They've never won in Seattle. But I don't think Seattle's very good, and I do think if they play pretty well, they have a chance. Absolutely.
We shall find out. Questions of the day. Here we go. We got two of them today. All right. They're presented by Maserati Jacksonville. The first one, is there a player that you would realistically like to see the Jaguars try and acquire before next Tuesday's trade deadline? And if so, who? And we're not asking you what you'd give up to get them. Just what is that player that you would target? And we say realistically because obviously there's some players that their teams are simply not going to trade. You probably got to find a team that's not really in major contention here.
Yeah. Let's go get Alvin Kamara and get rolling here.
Take that, right? Yeah. D-Rock, how do you feel about Alvin Kamara?
He's fine, American.
Is he?
Yep.
He did D-Rock in on Monday Night
Football. I think when I had him, I think he scored like 8 points that week. So
goes that way sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, if he were in here, I would not offer him a piece of
I don't know if you heard, but I had a guy that scored zero this week and still beat
you.
Yeah? Yeah.
I don't.
It happens.
Yeah.
What a loser.
I might as well have had a guy that scored zero. Mark Andrews, thank you for nothing last week.
He didn't do a whole lot. What was the margin? It ended up being between you and E.T. E.T. had you covered going into Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
But it was only a couple of points.
Yeah, it was 71.94 to 73.48.
Hey, easy, easy. The great Vin Diesel once said it doesn't matter if it's by inch or a mile. A win is a win.
Is
baby.
That what – who is
– The great.
That's
the great,
attributed to Vin Diesel?
The great Vin Diesel.
We're quoting Vin Diesel now.
All right. We are.
Fast and the Furious, baby.
Family.
Bonus question of the day. Who, if anyone, is the player you think the Jaguars should be trying hardest to trade away before next Tuesday's trade deadline, and what would it take for you to deal him? One suggestion, Taven Bryan for a sausage biscuit.
Mm.
That's fine as long as D-Rock's not delivering the sausage biscuit.
We wouldn't make the deadline.
We won't make the deadline. 4 o'clock, you got to get that biscuit here. And
is anybody going to answer with any other player but Taven Bryan?
Well, and that's the thing. Yes, actually, we got somebody suggested trading away Miles Jack for draft capital, right? So I wouldn't do it either, but D-Rock just made a face. I don't know if that was the donut or
– No, that was the
Miles Jack proposal.
That was a Miles Jack.
But that's what we're soliciting from you today, your opinion on who you would like to see the Jaguars actively shop and also actively pursue. Doesn't have to be in the same – kind of deal. A lot of people putting Allen Robinson out there. First of all, I want weapons for Trevor Lawrence, but I like weapons that are under contract for more than just the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have any, you know, people are saying, oh, he wants to be back in Jacksonville. Really? What's the indication of that? I don't know that that's the case. And I mean,
I think he would just want to play with a good quarterback.
I think he would be happy to play with Trevor Lawrence, right? But then at the end of the year, wouldn't Allen Robinson want to try to cash in once again and go to the highest bidder?
I would assume that's the path we're on.
Right. Yeah. He may not take
the highest
bidder. Because he was on the
franchise tag.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I would think that, he's a rest of the year rental. I don't know if the Jags should be in the rest of the year rental department.
No, I agree with you.
If it's now, if you're trading a player away for, you know, somebody that you feel is extra for taking a shot on, you know, a speedy wide receiver, maybe hasn't done very much with their team, whatever the case. Okay, that's one thing. You know, if it's pretty economical, but if we're talking about a bigger ticket item, I mean, is Allen Robinson the kind of wide receiver that this team needs? Either, you know what I mean?
He's not the speed guy.
He's not, right? And I think that's, look, he can get deep because he's a really good contested catch player, but I think this team is looking for that guy that makes other defenses or defensive coordinators go, okay, wait a minute. We got to make sure we know where this guy is on every play, because if he gets behind us, it's over with.
Right. If they decided that Allen Robinson is a part of this future and then they use their draft picks to get that speed guy, then I think you roll out a pretty good little group of wide receivers for Trevor Lawrence in his second year, and boom, that could be a takeoff moment for this offense, especially if ETN gets back.
The question is, though, what would you have to give to get Allen Robinson? And there's no assurance that he's going to resign, even if you're willing and eager. You know, I mean, you put the franchise tag on Allen Robinson, you may have a situation where he is very disgruntled and not reporting for anything, certainly not signing the tag until the last minute, you know. And I don't think that's the situation we want to find ourselves in, but we'll find out today. I think a lot of people are going to go that direction with the question, and that's certainly fine. All right, coming up next, we will head out west. Nate Burleson will join us. Spent 4 years as a member of the Seattle Seahawks, among other teams, three with Minnesota, three with Detroit. You know him from NFL Network, CBS Sports, all over the place. So we'll get with Nate next and talk about the state of the Seahawks and whether or not he thinks these young Jaguars have a chance to go up to the Pacific Northwest and actually make it 2 wins in a row. If you want to answer the questions of the day, you can do it in a variety of ways. On the phone lines at 641-1010, same number for the text line, designed by Lifetime Enclosures, and on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN Duraco, and at IME to the T.
I just be chilling.
All right. There you go. Go check out. Where can folks see your chilling video, by the way? Probably in the 1010XL Twitter feed.
1010XL Twitter feed, and I believe it's on YouTube.
Oh.
And it's on my, I'll pin it on my Twitter feed.
How about that? Check out at IME to the T, and he'll have that up there shortly. You don't want to miss it. It's one of those, this is 1010XL.
Yeah.
Like, this is SportsCenter type commercial.
It's awesome.
It was pretty cool. So check that out if you are so inclined. All right, we're off and rolling today. We got Nate Burleson next. We're going to hear from Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence. We will get into the matchup with the Seahawks. And, of course, we've got Breakfast Bowl Week 8 coming your way as well. With Tony Smith, Mike DiRocco, and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Any name, CBS Mornings.
Look at that guy.
And most of all, we've got a new co-host. What's your name is?
Nate Burleson.
Nate Burleson. Around here we call him AKA Nate the Great.
Second and 7, and the pass to Burleson. Burleson inside the 10, the 5, and he is over for the touchdown.
Like, you might be a rookie, but this city needs you to be a vet. I don't care about playing like a vet. You're going to be a good quarterback. I need you to act like a vet and lead like a vet.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
That was Nate Burleson on a previous appearance here on Jaguars Today, talking obviously about rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Nate Burleson on CBS Morning, CBS NFL Today, and of course all over NFL Network as well with Good Morning Football. And you know him, you love him. We do, certainly around these parts, and he's kind enough to join us for a few minutes this morning. Good morning, Nate. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing? It seems like I know a little something about a little something talking about Trevor Lawrence there.
Yeah, you know, well,
I remember that conversation because in my head I was thinking, not everything is going to go right on the field. Not everything is going to go right off the field, as we saw in Jacksonville. But if you have a leader, a young leader, guys will follow.
And I take it that you feel like those words have come to fruition. I mean, from our perspective, Trevor Lawrence, we always say, you know, prior to the win, and we've been trying to ride that win now for almost 2 weeks, Nate, but that's what we have. You know, we always said that every time he stepped to the mic, we felt a little bit better about the fact that they hadn't won any games because he does seem so composed, and he does seem to get it, and there's no panic in him, and you just see the leadership skills exuding from him despite the fact that they haven't, you know, produced that winning record yet. What do you see from your vantage point out west?
I see exactly what you're seeing. And you know what? The most important thing is that the players in the locker room, the veterans, see it. Being honest, and that's what I like to do, be very transparent when I talk to you guys, it's a simple fact that there have been a lot of teams that have dealt with situations like what's going on in Jacksonville, on and off the field, in much worse situations too. Let me be clear. I don't want to over-exaggerate what everybody knows and what has happened. But I've seen teams fall apart from a lot less, and dealing with issues and not being able to recover because of the lack of leadership in the locker room. And on top of that, he's been playing well as of recently. I mean, you look at how the beginning of the season started, throwing, what was it, 6 or 7 picks in the first few games.
Right.
And then only one interception over the last 3. Like, that's an improvement. It might be a small thing, but as a wide receiver, I see that as an improvement. And if you have things that you can build on week in and week out, you'll be good to go.
Where do you expect to see the most improvement from Trevor Lawrence over the course of the last 2/3 of this season?
I think that's a big part of it. Continue to take care of the ball. I can care less how you start, it's how you finish. You know, when talking to Phil Sims, I love to get his perspective on young quarterbacks and how they should approach certain parts of the season. Now that we're at the midway point, he wants to see young quarterbacks let it go, let it fly. You know, this conversation came up when talking about Zach Wilson, and he said, listen, it's rough right now. So we're not going to fool ourselves into thinking that there's going to be this magical run into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl. But if you can sit back there, get the ball out of your hand when you need to, learn how to save your body and not scramble for yards when it's unnecessary, but more importantly, show off the reason why you were selected where you were, that's going to get people excited. Not just the fans, not just the coaches, but the guys that are lining up with you every single week. So for me, I want to see them let it go. Let that thing fly for the rest of the year. Of course, be selective, have some discernment, and not be reckless with the ball. But now this is the point where you kind of show off. From a wide receiver's perspective, it would be like me saying, all right, I know where our season is. I know where it's going. Let me show this team why I need to be the guy moving forward, and let me show the fans why they need to be excited for next season.
Nate, when you look at the way Trevor Lawrence moves in the pocket and his pocket presence, is that advanced for a guy who's made just 6 starts?
It really is. And here's a small thing, but it's also the composure. I like to say what's underneath the mask. You know, a lot of times you'll see a guy's body language. He gets up, he dusts himself off. It's like, oh, yeah, he's tough. He can handle a big hit. But, you know, what I pay attention to are the details. When he gets up off the ground, I'm looking at his eyes. I'm looking at his face. Now, how does that translate into what he's going to say next to his team when he gets back in the huddle? We've had this conversation before, fellas. There's times where I've been in huddles and a quarterback was shook. And it wasn't even a big hit. I mean, the game's just started. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, looking at the rest of the guys in the huddle, man, this is going to be a wrap for us if he doesn't get his bleep together. Trevor Lawrence hasn't had those moments, which is expected. And we'll give it a pass because he's a rookie. I mean, this dude will get himself up off the ground, even moving within the pocket like you were talking about. I mean, there's subtleties. When a guy's helmet isn't bouncing up and down, which means he's frantic, and he's looking downfield while his feet are still moving, shoulders are still square, and he's trying to make that perfect throw. That right there is a veteran quarterback that we're looking at. I'm not calling him that. He has a lot more to learn. But what I'm saying is it usually takes a guy 2 to 3 years, maybe even 5, to get to that point where he's not paying attention to the surrounding pocket that might be collapsing. He's paying attention to the ball and where he wants to throw it to the wide receiver, tight end, or running back.
Talking here with Nate Burleson. All right, I think we all agree. We're happy with Trevor Lawrence, the trajectory he's on. That may be the only thing right now, Nate, that we're ecstatic about. But I want your perspective on Urban Meyer. And we know all the details of what has transpired from the moment he was hired up until now. Can he come back from where he's at national perception-wise and be a winner over the long haul in the National Football League from what you've seen?
He can, but it's going to take some time. And I would say put on the blinders to everything outside of Jacksonville. Right now, you have to care less about the outside perspective of what people are saying. It's just like trying to create change. You know, we're talking on a global scale. You can't start globally, right? You start locally in your community, in your city, state, and then it moves out nationally. So for me, it's the same thing. If you're trying to create change, because that's what we're trying to do, right, in Jacksonville, create change in the culture. And if you're trying to recover from maybe some damaging issue that we all were aware of, living his life out loud in front of the world, which all coaches and players have to do, that's what you sign up for, you have to start with your locker room. Because you know what we notice on the outside looking in? If you don't have the locker room, you don't have us. If you don't have your family, then you don't have us. And there's nothing closer to you than your actual blood than the players. So if the players, they lock back in, buy back in, and then all of a sudden the city, they support, they believe, and then Florida, and then what we're going to do from the outside looking in is say, you know what? They recovered. They bounced back. They might have had some dirt and scuffs, but they dusted themselves off, and now Urban Meyer and his squad, they are back. That's how I look at it.
Nate, what impresses you most about the transition that Jamal Agnew has made from defense to offense in his career, all while still making a big impact on special teams wherever he's been?
Jamal Agnew is my favorite player. I need you guys to let him know that. I need a jersey. I know he played in Detroit, so you know I'm a Detroit guy. But for me, I need you guys to go ahead and hit up the equipment guys and have a signed jersey sent to me. I need Marvin Jones too. I need LaVisca Chenault. You know what? Give me all the playmakers, all the skill players. I need those jerseys hanging in my basement. All right, but to answer your question, there's only a couple guys in the NFL that really blow my mind from an athleticism standpoint. And that's Jamal Agnew and Cordero Patterson. It's like, I'm watching these football games, and I'm like, wait, are these dudes Iron Man? It's like Pop Warner. Hey, man, can you play running back, receiver, kickoff returner? You want to play a little defense? You know, I'll even give you the headset if you want to coach. Jamal Agnew is a fantastic talent. There's one thing you can't coach. One, speed and athleticism, right? And that's understood, self-explanatory. But there's this, like, X factor of fearlessness that you have to have. Like, think about how uncomfortable you are when somebody asks you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone. For all you students that are listening right now, you know, a teacher asks you to do something that you weren't prepared for, right? It's a surprise quiz today. Or if you're at work and your boss says, hey, you know, somebody's out. You know, Chris is out. I need you to step in and do his job. And you're like, well, one, that's not what I'm paid to do. Two, I'm not even prepared. Just think about, like, that anxiety that we all get as humans. That's natural. Now, let's extrapolate that to the NFL. You have a couple guys in Cordero Patterson, Jamal Agnew, which we're talking about right now, where a coach can look at him and say, hey, I know today we said we're going to use a little bit at running back, but we're going to play at more of a tight end position. And then we want you to do both punt return and kickoff return. We might use you to go cover some kicks as well. You know what? Got a couple of DBs down. So just stay alert in the fourth quarter because I might put you at nickelback. Jamal Agnew is the guy that can confidently look back at his coach and say, I got you, without feeling a bit of anxiety. I don't think I can say enough, and to be honest, I don't think people appreciate it enough. They might just say, he's a freak athlete. You don't see freak athletes like that at this level because everybody is supposed to be playing one position. So that's why I appreciate what he's been doing. It is mind-blowing. And it's unfortunate because the record doesn't reflect some of the greatness that we are seeing in Jacksonville. But as a player, let me tell you, you guys are witnessing some cool stuff. Just hope it's being appreciated.
Yeah, well, that's awesome to see that it is from your perspective, a guy who played in the league as long as successfully as you did, Nate. Let's flip it over to the Seahawks here for a minute. First time since 92 they've lost their first three at home in a season. That's not all Geno Smith. You know, a game and a half of that was Russell Wilson. He got hurt in the Rams game. They lost that one. And, of course, the New Orleans Monday night game that they just dropped. But how gettable is this team, even for a young team like Jacksonville? With Geno at quarterback, I think that's what a lot of Jaguar fans are hanging their hat on, that, hey, if we can find a way to get some pressure, we can hang in this game and maybe steal one on the road.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, you have to look at what this defense is doing. Seattle, for years, have been known as the stout defense. They're not that anymore. Was the 27th-ranked pass defense. So with Trevor Lawrence taking care of the ball, the wide receivers who have been playing well in moments. I mean, you know, of course, Marvin Jones is my guy, so I'm always going to show him some love. Still waiting for that breakout game by LaVisca Chenault. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish that Chark wasn't hurt, but I feel like if there's a team that you can attack, even though it doesn't look like it on paper because they have some pretty big names, this is it. This Seahawks defense they got some weaknesses in that pass defense. So go ahead and I would say the game plan should be let Trevor Lawrence light up the sky. And then you have James Robinson, who doesn't get enough respect in the NFL. You can lean on him to open up the pass game. But I feel like this is a game that the Jags can go out and win if they play the game right.
How would you approach trying to defend DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on Sunday if you were making the plan for the Jaguars?
You got to loosen up, maybe get some Bengay on your knees, get down on them and pray. All jokes aside, it's just tough, man, because when you think you're locking down one guy, we got DK Metcalf in check today. On the flip side, you have Tyler Lockett running deep routes, and it's not just one. He's not just a fade guy. They'll run a fade, then they'll run the big post, then they'll run a short post. And then what'll kill you, and this is what the defense has to watch out for, that bunch formation crossing route. I mean, he'll sit there hidden in the bunch so you can't get your hands on him at the line of scrimmage, and he'll go from one side of the field to the other, and with a quarterback that can drop it up and then down right into his hands, it's just a tough route to stop. So I would say aggressive at the line of scrimmage with Tyler Lockett, have one person underneath, one person over the top, and then I would say, you know, 4 to 5 yards off, maybe 10 yards off of DK Metcalf, allow him to catch what's in front of you and then rally to the ball. Trying to be physical with DK Metcalf at the line of scrimmage is tough because he'll box with you, man. He's just so physical. He's like David Boston back in the day. That's how big and strong he is.
Yeah, we saw Marshawn Lattimore get a little taste of that on Monday. Now, although his team ended up on top, and we also saw, you know, reminder of how dangerous DK is, one play to the house from 84 yards, and Jags certainly need to avoid that this weekend. Nate, I'm going to wager that a lot of Jaguar fans are going to be very happy about your perspective on where you see Trevor Lawrence headed, and Jamal Agnew, for that matter. And hopefully you're correct, sir. And we certainly think that's the case with the first overall pick in the draft this year, man. Appreciate your time. Always appreciate your work, man. Thanks for the conversation. Look forward to catching up again.
Thank you, man. You guys do a great job. Shout out to my guy, E.T.
Come on, somebody. Come on, now.
You know you're not going to get out of here without saying something to E.T.
Why do you have to go and do that? That was a perfectly good interview.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Haters go hate. Haters go hate.
Take it easy, Nate.
All right.
All right, buddy. There he goes. E.T., that's E.T.'s guy right there. You kidding me?
That's big bra.
That's big bra right there.
I told
her
I wasn't going to bother him again until the playoffs, though.
Oh, no.
I thought Cliff Averill was
what
your
year?
Guy.
Well, Cliff Averill is his
and Laverne Averill's family.
Hey, yeah. keep rattling them off.
Keep going.
Oh, you
keep
got
going.
Multiple guys.
Keep going.
Okay. The whole, you know, the whole group. Marshawn. Did you hear about the Patrenacy thing?
No.
We got you.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk in the future here. All right, there you go. Thanks to Nate Burleson. I mean, really awesome stuff on Jamal Agnew.
Yeah.
Like, I expect anybody who really pays attention to be able to see what's going on with Trevor Lawrence, right? I don't think it's that difficult to see for this guy to say that Jamal Agnew is in a rare class of freaks at the NFL level. Pretty impressive. I mean, you know, Nate Burleson spent 11 years as a pro receiver. He's seen the good and right. the bad, you know, and he knows what he's talking about from that standpoint as much as anybody out there. So,
and Jamal Agnew's not the biggest guy in the world either.
No,
that's what's even more impressive.
No, Urban Meyer called him the best separator on the team right now. You know, that's I don't know if that speaks great for the rest of the wide receiver corps, but nevertheless.
Same guy was playing corner 12 months ago.
Does it really matter, though? They yeah. need him to make plays for him right now.
Every time they've come to him, he's done a solid job.
Yeah.
I mean, that catch down the sideline, was that against Cincinnati?
He's right.
It was unreal.
When we make that playoff run, we can Troy Brown him, right? Where, hey, Nate, we need a series at nickel mm-hmm. corner. Go back there. He can handle it, right? Jamal. We'll take Nate, too. At this point, you know, if he's available.
Can't be any worse,
you know,
right?
we could probably beef up that wide receiver core a little bit. All right, good stuff with Nate Burleson. If you want to get in, anything Jaguar-related, 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Couple of questions of the day out there. Who would you like to see the Jaguars pursue before the trade deadline? Who would you like to see them possibly ship away before the trade deadline, and what would you be looking for in return? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. here with you, Jaguars Today, on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Wow.
Why they don't holler at me? They know I'm affiliated with Seattle. They need to scout. They need to holler at me.
Would you give them the inside scoop?
I give them the whole book.
Would you?
The whole thing.
Okay.
The whole tootin' caboodle.
You tell them the secret to the success is a shot and a half a hen before the game?
And a half a Patron.
And a half. Is that, what do they call that?
Patrinacy.
Patrinacy?
Yes, sir. Yeah. You're learning.
I'm learning.
We're going to do one? Super Bowl. This year.
Yep.
So, lock. Let's go. Tony Smith, you too. Come on, somebody.
Patrinacy.
I have no interest in any of that.
I don't either, but I do it with you. Because ET's got that Svengali thing going on.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
By the way, next time ET comes in last in the breakfast bowl, there's your breakfast drink.
Oh, dear.
Patrinacy, brought to you by Emmanuel Thaloran.
I think you can just read ET's shirt for my response to that
one. Oh, no. A, B, C, D.
There's a Z in there, too.
There is a Z. D's something.
Yeah.
A, B, C, D, E's. I'm not sure. I can't see from this angle. All right. Appreciate Nate Burleson stopping by. I mean, really, he makes you feel good about the quarterback situation and at least, recognizing what Jamal Agnew has brought to this football team. I don't know how many national pundits would be able to do that, really. I mean, how many, I don't know if it's Nate knew he was coming on. He took a little bit of a dive into the Jaguars, which credit him if he did, or if he's just that aware of that level of detail with every team in the league. But I would think a lot of people around the National Football League would kind of roll their eyes at the thought of Jamal Agnew being one of your better impact players on offense right now.
Probably, but I'll say this. I was most impressed by what he was talking about Trevor and the poise and the pocket and saying he looked like a guy that's in his fifth year, veteran quarterback. And this kid's done it for six games. So that to me is pretty high praise.
Yeah, I saw your reaction because he was like, sometimes it takes 2, 3, even 5 years, and you're like, damn.
It has been, we noticed that in the press box, and we've talked about it. He dips a shoulder, he steps up, he's never panicking, like you never see the happy feet with this kid. I mean, he senses stuff coming, and even if it's coming up the A-gap, he's still, able to move just enough. It's unbelievable how well he moves in the pocket. And there's no reason for a rookie quarterback to have that, and he does.
Especially coming from a place like Clemson, where it's not like every week he was having to run for his life.
Right.
He spent most of his career able to drop back, survey, do what he needs to do, on that given play. And that he comes into the NFL having to deal with everything that you have to deal with, being the number one pick coming to Jacksonville with the deficiencies they have at different spots on the roster. And none of it bothers him even a little bit to this point.
And we always talk about a really great quarterback makes the receivers better. Well, really great quarterbacks also make the offensive line look a lot better than it may be at times. Because they may miss a guy on a blitz pickup. He may mess up the where they're supposed to roll the protection to, and he just deals with it.
Yeah, I think that's a huge factor.
Yeah.
But I mean, give the line credit.
They have played well.
They played solid football.
Cam Robinson has played well.
But that's what you talk about when you talk about a rare talent. He should elevate his teammates, and that is one of the ways that a quarterback can do it. And he has already shown that. Imagine if they can get him his version of Ja'Marr Chase, right? I mean, you see the leap Joe Burrow has made. Joe Burrow passed the eyeball test last year. I remember Loggeman and Bocelli just raving about him, watching him on film when the Jags played Cincinnati, and just he's got everything. He looks like as advertised. And I feel that is how Trevor is. Cincinnati didn't win many games with Joe Burrow last year, and now look at him. And I'm not saying it's just an automatic. You got to put pieces around him, but gives you the hope that you can take a pretty big leap pretty quickly. And it'd be nice to stack a few more wins here this year as well. I feel like the pressure valve was released. They got the one. They stopped the losing streak. Now it's okay. Let's try to build something. And I don't think momentum carries over, but I do think that for Trevor Lawrence having success, seeing it, finishing out games, that can be something that stays with him moving forward.
Yeah, and especially, honestly, fourth quarter wins and the way that they did And the thing that was most – one of the things that was most impressive to me about that game is they go down there at the end of the first half and get points, and then they turn around, they come back at the start of the second half and get points. If you watch the Dallas-New England game a couple of weeks ago, the Patriots got the ball near the end of the first half, about a minute and a half left, okay? Now, in years past, that was their thing. Go down at the end of the first half, come back and score. So you're expecting them to do that. Now, I get it that they had Brady, but they just turn around, hand the ball off, so they're giving up that 130, which to me says they don't trust Mac Jones, or they don't trust the offense or the wide receivers, but a lot of it's on the quarterback. If you trust your quarterback, then you make 40 yards and try and kick a field goal and get some points anyway. You don't just give up 130, which is, you know, what happened at the end of that first half in the AFC title game with the Jags and the Patriots.
But yeah.
If you don't trust your quarterback, you're in a bad spot.
I can't speak to whether they trust him or not, but I get the sense that Mac Jones is a guy that is not going to beat you. You know, like, he's not going to beat his own team, right, by turning it over, throwing it to the other team. But I don't know if I trust him to put the team on his back either and lead that kind of – I mean, out of
not
necessity.
Not at this point right now.
Right, exactly. But, like, I do feel that. Like, hey, Trevor, go out there and let it
rip. They absolutely 1,000% trust this
you
kid
got
to do that.
What's the – I mean, what's the point in not, right? I mean
– you got to earn it. I mean, you
– But on this team, you know what Trevor Lawrence – you know he's the franchise already. I mean, you just do. And so – put him in as many high-stress opportunities now when really the consequences – I mean, they're high-stress in the context of that game, but in the big picture, you know, you lose one more game, what is
right.
It really matter?
You just want to know next year or 2 years from now when they are a potential playoff team.
Not don't give me this 2 years from now. It's not right off 2022
that he can
yet.
Go – that, you know, in a game, a tight game, he can go down there at the end of the first half and then start the second half and get your points. That he can lead you to a come-from-behind victory. That he's been in those situations. So he at least has some sort of a track record in his head that he can pull out and remember and go, okay, this is what worked then. This is what didn't work then. Get him in as many situations as you can. And this season, like we've talked about, is all about Trevor. It's all about figuring out what he does, what he doesn't like to do, how good he does this, what he needs to improve on, and where they need to go to give him the best opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, it's funny what a win does, isn't it? Yeah. They win a football game, and now it feels like the over-under on 5.5 is back in play,
right?
You know, for this Jaguars team. And we were having conversations about maybe they'll win 3 games this year.
Right.
You know, and that's – but they found a way to get a win, and – the feeling around it changes, and they're going to Seattle. It's like, yeah, they got a real shot.
They do have a chance
to go win this football game. It's everything is fixed when you just get in the win column, and we'll see if they can carry that momentum at all.
Well, part of that, though, too, is that as the season goes on, teams aren't what you expected them to be, right? I mean, if Russell Wilson were playing in this game, even if they had the same record, I think we'd be like, I don't think they're going to go beat Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's going to carve this secondary apart. But Geno Smith is in there. So that's the thing. You never know on paper. I go back to Tony. We've talked about it for years. At the 1 year where Garrard was the starting quarterback, and we looked at the schedule and we're like, well, they ain't going to win in Dallas, right?
No,
that, like, that was the toughest game on the schedule, and they blew the doors off the Cowboys in Dallas that year. It was the easiest win they had, and you just never know sometimes.
It's funny.
It is.
And you know, we were talking a little bit ago. You look at their schedule going forward, and it's like, well, at the beginning of the year, I said, no way they beat San Francisco here at home.
Sure.
San Francisco's not very good.
They're just kind of okay. Yeah, they're good. I mean, they're okay. They're not, you know, the worst. They're not the best.
They're coming from the across. You know, I could definitely see the 5-6 wins here. I mean, what will Houston be when they get Houston again? They've always played, or recently they played the Colts tight at home here.
Especially when we get Brandon Cooks from them, as many have suggested today.
That's
not a bad idea,
to be honest with you. I mean,
that would be an ideal guy, I think. You know, I don't know what it is that he doesn't stick around in places, but he produces everywhere he's been. He really does.
He must just be a horrible, horrible.
I don't know.
I mean, there's got to be something to it.
I mean, because he constantly gets dealt from one place to another and then puts up 1,000 yards.
Right.
You know, and it goes about his business. I mean, in terms of talent, I'd take him. I'd find it hard to believe that Houston would trade him in the division.
Right. I mean, that's exactly what they need. If that. At receiver. That's the kind of receiver they need. Right
no
now.
Doubt. Somebody suggested Terry McLaurin. Look, I would love Terry McLaurin, but unlike Houston, I don't think Washington looks at themselves as, hey, let's bottom out and completely, you know, acquire as many draft assets as we can and completely start from scratch. That was a team that won their division, albeit with a losing record last year, but they thought their defense was going to be really good this year. They're trying to figure out the quarterback position, but I don't think Washington has any desire to move Terry McLaurin.
Why not trade for Devontae Adams if we're going that route?
Well, I mean, right.
you know what I mean? It's like to say, look, no one's giving those guys up.
Devontae would make more sense if the Packers were 1-6 than Terry McLaurin would to me, because he's older and he's in the last year of his deal, and you don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be back, and Devontae's a pipe dream, because that's right, not the circumstance. But if it was, that would even make more sense to me than Terry McLaurin because of the age factor. Washington's got him under control for another season after this. So, all right, if you want to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it. Coming up, we will hear a few thoughts from Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and Shaq Griffin as well. Breakfast Bowl Week 8 coming up next hour, as Taylor Dahl will join us for that. We've got Steve in Melbourne up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
How are you doing this morning?
We're good. What's up, man?
I have a trade idea, and I saw this on Twitter, so I wanted to run it by you.
Okay.
And I heard what you said earlier. You don't want to trade for somebody that's only got a one-year deal, and then we got to throw the book at them. Because, I mean, we just need to hand a blank check to Devontae Adams next year and say, hey, you're worth every dollar, just put a number.
Sure.
What about Brandon Ayuk out of San Francisco? I mean, you got the bulky connection there with Lynch. He had a good rookie season. He got injured early, and they really haven't got him involved in the offense. And I know he had that muffled punt, but we wouldn't need him to return. We got our own guy, Jamal Adams.
Man, I'll stop you right here, Steve. If I thought there's a chance that they would give up on Brandon Ayuk this early, I would be all over that.
Yeah.
All over that. This guy, you want to talk about athleticism on the edge. He's, to me, Tony, he's not necessarily just a pure speed burner guy, although he can get deep. It's more the athleticism that he can make guys miss. He can do. He can make acrobatic catches. I loved what I saw out of him as a rookie, and it has been a mystery why they haven't been able to get him involved this year. It was like he was in the doghouse at first, and then they're saying, no, he's not in the doghouse. He was outplayed by Trent Sherfield, and Sherfield got a little run early in the season. And Steve's right. They just have not really gotten him involved. My guess is they wouldn't be willing to give up on him that quickly, because remember, when they took him, they took Javon Kinlaw, I want to say like 12th or 13th, right, in the first round. And they said after the draft, or at least after the first round, that had Kinlaw been off the board, Ayuk, they would have considered him with that first round pick that they had. So they loved him coming out. It is mysterious why he has not been able to get more involved, man. What would you give for Brandon Ayuk if you could get Brandon Ayuk right now?
A second round pick.
I might give a second round pick. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Or maybe a second with a fifth coming back your way, something like that. Because, I mean, I looked at McShay did, and we're not turning this into a draft show, but just noting that I saw McShay's big board, right? He had seven receivers in the first round. But as I go through a lot of them, there's a lot of big body possession guy. You know, there's a couple of them that are the complete package. They're going to be off the board by your second round pick. They're not going to be worthy of likely where the Jaguars are selecting with their first round pick as of right now. And so you look and you're like, could we get this guy possibly? Who's going to be there?
Sure.
Would it make sense? I mean, it would depend on your evaluation of Ayuk coming out, but if you liked him, I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, it is a little bit crazy. You look at his stats this year. Brandon Ayuk has 9 catches in 6 games.
It's nuts.
I mean, what? After the kind of year that he had as a rookie last year for San Francisco.
He's on one of my fantasy rosters.
Yeah.
So great.
He had 60 catches last year as a rookie. He's got 9 catches to this point this year. Hasn't had more than 4 in a game yet this season. I mean, them trying to figure out what to do with him in that offense, and he's not a speed guy necessarily. He was a 4-5 guy coming out of school. Still was worthy of being a first-round pick. I'd be surprised if San Francisco was willing to even listen to anything on Ayuk at this point, but the way they're using him at least presents the question of what are they doing with this guy.
And he had a stretch last year where I think both Deebo Samuel and George Kittle were out. And so you could say, well, of course he's going to get the targets, he's going to produce, but that also means that he's going to get all the attention, right? And he performed like a high-end wide receiver. He had a stretch here. He had 6 for 115, 8 for 91 with a touchdown, 7 for 75 with a touchdown, 5 for 95 with a touchdown, 10 for 119, and 9 for 73 with a touchdown. That was 6 straight games that he did in his rookie season.
Yeah.
So bring it on. I think that's a pretty good suggestion. I don't know why, like, because I'm with you. I don't know why they would part with him, but at the same time, if you had told me he'd have these numbers, I'd say absolutely.
Right.
What, in week one, week two, in the first 2 weeks of the year? Kind of unexplainable. All right, we'll come back. Tony will take you around the league as the trade deadline approaches for next Tuesday. Two questions of the day out there for you, presented by Maserati Jacksonville. Who should be the Jaguars' realistic trade target, if anybody, and who are you looking to shop right now from the Jaguars' perspective, and what would it take to acquire them from Jacksonville if you were running the show? Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. Breakfast Bowl next hour as well. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Houston Texans are trading running back Mark Ingram back to the New Orleans Saints, which is where Ingram was a first-round pick in 2011, made 2 Pro Bowls in 8 seasons before spending a couple years in Baltimore. Ingram has 92 carries for 294 yards and 1 touchdown through 7 games this season for the Houston Texans. Houston quarterback Tyrod Taylor is back at practice, opening his 21-day window to return to the field. Taylor hasn't been able to play since week 2. While recovering from a hamstring injury, reports came out yesterday that the Carolina Panthers are not interested in trading for Houston quarterback Deshaun Watson, at least not during the season or before next week's trade deadline. The Panthers were one among a handful of teams that have at least been said to have some interest previously in making a move for Watson. The NFL sent out a memo yesterday with updates to the league's Rooney Rule, which include allowing teams to conduct virtual interviews with coaching candidates on other teams during the final 2 weeks of the regular season. The team wishing to interview a potential candidate would have to have an open head coaching position and get consent from the candidate's current team in order to conduct that interview. Week 8 gets started tonight with the 6-1 Green Bay Packers, who have won 6 in a row since their season-opening loss here in Jacksonville to the New Orleans Saints, heading to the desert to play the NFL's lone remaining undefeated team, the 7-0 Arizona Cardinals, tonight at 8:20 on Fox and the NFL Network. Packers wide receiver Davante Adams did not travel with the team after being placed on their COVID/reserve list on Monday. Alan Lazard will also miss tonight's game while he is on the COVID list. Arizona has already ruled out defensive lineman J.J. Watt with a shoulder injury tonight. Watt will undergo surgery for that injury and is likely to miss the rest of the 2021 season.
All right, there you go. Around the league, thank you, Tony. Jags getting ready to head up to the Pacific Northwest, take on Seattle. Trevor Lawrence speaking yesterday to the assembled throng of Jaguar media, including ESPN's Mike Duracco, and said that Brian Schottenheimer has been helping with a little bit of insight on the former club he was associated with.
Coach Schottenheimer, that's our quarterback coach. He was there for 3 years, so he's got a lot of really good insight and knows their staff really well. And, you know, he's helped us a lot, you know, just watching film, little tidbits and nuggets of whatever that could be useful carrying over into the game. He's been great so far.
Yeah, we'll see what kind of insight they are able to give these guys. We know Shaq Griffin should be able to help some guys out, hopefully, with what to do going up to Seattle, at least what to expect. Urban Meyer yesterday was also asked about looking at this Seattle game, says that he has studied Pete Carroll and what he's done as a head coach for many years.
I've studied Coach Carroll for many, many, many years, starting back in my Utah days when they were, you know, the top of the college football world. When I was with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Fox, I just would ask because I've always studied great coaches, and he's a guy that competition was the number one piece of his organization, and that became ours too. I mean, it's always been, but it's not by accident that I've hired guys that were part of that organization.
Competition's great, especially if you have a guy like Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. right? It changes everything. I mean, Pete Carroll himself has said he wouldn't have had the run he's had without having that quarterback. So you can be all about competition. You can be this great genius. You don't have the raw material to work with. You can only go so far with the material you have, you know, and that's what gives you hope as a Jaguar fan or supporter that you've got the raw material at the most important position, some of the best raw material in the league right now, you know?
That's why whatever happens with Urban this year, next year, whatever, it's arguably the most attractive job in the NFL when he if he leaves or whatever because of Trevor, because everybody wants to coach that guy.
You would think,
yeah,
right?
I mean, it's no brainer.
The thing of it is, like, I'm just being a pragmatist. I hope Urban is the one that succeeds. Put it this way, it won't matter if Urban turns over his offensive coaching staff. It's not going to be much different than if they have a new head coach, because that's, to me, what's really important in terms of the development. I don't know how much Urban Meyer has made Trevor Lawrence progress. He seems like he's very much a delegator, you know, and he hands things off to his more experienced NFL staff. So, you know, Schottenheimer, Bevel, those guys, I think probably a little bit more hands-on.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So, I just don't want to see the revolving door of coordinators and offensive schemes for Trevor Lawrence.
That is how you ruin a quarterback.
Right, and it doesn't mean he is probably capable as anybody of handling that, but it's so much better if you can just build a foundation and then just add to it rather than tear it up and start over again, you know? All right, a couple here from Shaq Griffin, who's a big revenge game, although, as we pointed out, it's the Jake Luton, Philip Dorsett, Al Woods revenge game as well, coming back the other way. What does Shaq remember most about playing in Seattle?
The leadership, the veteran people that we had around. You know, I got a chance to – I was, you know, grateful to be in a situation where I played with the Shermans and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor. You know, a very veteran guy. You're talking about Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill. These are guys you're talking about 8-plus years total. Like, that's crazy. So I got a chance to learn a lot from a person who's down there seen it all.
So, Tone, it's not just Russell Wilson, obviously. I mean, that Legion of Boom, he starts ripping off names, and you're like, yeah, they were all in their prime together, weren't they? So, you know, that's what it takes. Jack's got a long way to go to match that level.
No doubt. And one more here from Shaq Griffin. He was just asked about the matchup coming up on Sunday against DK Metcalf.
I know DK as a person. He knows me as a person. It's going to be a hard-fought battle. That's it. We're just competing. You know, and that's one thing, being the same system for a very long time. I seen DK come in as a rookie to where he is now, and everything was is we're going to make it tough. Make it tough. It's literally just battling one play at a time. And the person who gets frustrated first or the person who gives in first, the ones that usually lose. But knowing who he is, knowing who I am, it's just going to be a hard fight battle.
He's a beast, D-Rock. Does the Jaguar pass rush? I mean, that's the thing. You can rattle Geno Smith or you can get to him. Like, I feel like he should have felt DeMario Davis. I don't know if you watched it to the very end the other night.
I did not watch it.
He got
end.
A sack on third down that set up like a fourth and forever, and that basically ended the game. And, you know, it was just one of those that I don't know if he sensed him chasing him down or not. You know, I don't know if the Jags can get any pressure on Geno, I think they can win this football game. I don't know if they can get the pressure on Geno to do that, though.
Yeah, I mean, he'll make some mistakes, and that's what you got to try and capitalize on, of course.
Generally, he makes them, though, when he's forced into them.
Right, right.
You know?
But most quarterbacks, that's generally when they do. But, you know, it's interesting because they're going to play a lot more zone now. Urban was talking about that before, that they felt like they were going to play much, much more man the first part of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, okay, now they're going to flip it, and it might actually be like 70% zone, 30% man. So, in reality, that should help them. But they're among the league leaders at creating pressure. They're just not finishing.
Right.
But sometimes just creating the pressure is enough. So, maybe.
It can be.
You know, I mean, if I'm Joe Cullen, I employ a lot of blitzes this week. I'm going to take my shots at it because, you know, I don't know that they can stop DK Metcalf or Lockett. I think one of them is going to be a guy that, I mean, you can't stop both. So which one do you concentrate on? I'd like to get a chance to get guys in there and force Geno Smith to do something dumb.
Is this the week the Jags snap the streak of allowing 20 or more points? How long is that? How many games? It's been a long
22, I think.
Is it that many? Oh, my gosh.
I will find that. Someone just emailed that to me yesterday.
Did they? Well, look. I think that's their best chance to win this football game is to win it somewhere in the 20 to 17 range. We shall see. All right, we'll come back. Breakfast Bowl Week 8. A little bit more from Urban and Trevor Lawrence coming up later, but your thoughts as well. We'll get into 22-game streak of allowing at least 20 points, and that included the 20 they allowed to the Dolphins where they won on a last-second field goal right there. So the questions of the day out there, who should the Jaguars target? before the trade deadline, if anyone, and who should they be looking to shop, and what would you want in return? You can hop on board on our Twitter feeds or at 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and beautiful people all across the world, let's get ready for the Breakfast Bowl Challenge!
All right, here we go into week 7, and E.T. has entrusted the success of his Breakfast Bowl squad to J.J. LaSelva.
Yeah, so I have a short list of players that he would like picked.
Okay.
And if they're not there, then we're kind of screwed.
Oh, that's excellent.
We're not screwed.
Wish I had seen the list.
Yeah. I'm keeping it under lock and key, yeah.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I don't know who else was on the list, but J.J. at one point said he told me to try to stay away from Patrick Mahomes, which was a good call.
He told you that?
Yes. I don't know. Like, that's a little too much information.
No,
but,
that's cool.
You know.
I was like, when in doubt, if you freak out, go Patty Mahomes. But that was a good call that he didn't have to go.
Oh, really? You said, when in doubt, go Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and he went Lamar Jackson. I'm like, I'm not mad.
Because he was like, no, E.T. told me, if at all possible, stay away from Patrick Mahomes, isn't that what he said?
He said something about Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, if,
I thought that was
if possible, because
that was before the show. Yeah,
yeah, he did, because I was like, that's, I try to stay away from, because that's guaranteed points, so I don't want to have to use them right now. You know what
Except
I'm saying?
Except for last week,
right?
Which, yeah. So that was a good week to not use.
Wish you'd have taken
Patrick
him.
Mahomes, right? And we would have been eating breakfast on time.
Stay
today.
Over there, D-Rock, loser.
All right, Tony, recap the scores from last week, if you would, please.
For the second week in a row, Taylor Dahl takes the week with 121.5. It's actually enough to move her up from the bottom.
Into third place.
Yeah,
Thank you very much.
That's white meat area right there.
Back-to-back great weeks from Taylor. I finished second when all was said and done with 87.76 points on the week. Thank you, Alvin Kamara. Mike, you finished, Dempsey finished third with 84.44. Then came E.T., 73.48. And the loser of the week with the late breakfast this morning, Michael DeRocco, 71.94 for the week.
DeRock is, however, in the lead overall by about 2 1/3 points right now. That's where that's how close it is.
It's tight.
You got 636 and change. I have 634 and change. Taylor has moved into third at 563. Tony at 556. And look at this last place cellar dweller over here. Emmanuel Falloran.
I mean, I'm just going for the big gun.
Okay. 540 is where E.T. sits.
Dang.
So that's where it sits overall. The nature of the draft is you can use any player you like, but you can only use them once all year. So then if E.T. had Patrick Mahomes last week, would have been about the worst week to use him. Fortunately for him, he did not. So anyone you select, you can't use again. Anyone that's been selected by you, you cannot select. And anyone that comes off the board, only one team can have him in that given week. So D-Rock will bat leadoff today. We draft quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex. That flex cannot be a quarterback. It is point per reception scoring. All right, all the details are out of the way. Breakfast Bowl Week 8 commences. D-Rock is on the clock.
Jamar Chase.
Okay. Jamar Chase, those points. That's what we got right there. 201 yards receiving last week. Not a bad one, though. E.T.
I'm going with the running back. What's his name? Daryl Henderson.
That running back.
You guys know that one.
I don't want to say the wrong name around y'all.
Understood. That's good. The running back
is
safe until you figure out what the name of the guy is. I am also going with the running back, and mine will be Joe Mixon. So, Tony, you're on the clock.
I will take Dalvin Cook, please.
Okay. Taylor, back-to-back picks.
Okay, I'm going to take Kyle Pitts and Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke. All right, Tony, back to you with Dalvin Cook.
I will go Stephon Diggs, please.
Diggs. Tony don't want to buy breakfast next week. All right, boy. I think I can get that guy later. I will go with Daniel Jones at quarterback this week versus Kansas City. E.T.
I'm going to go with Adam Thielen.
Okay, Thielen it is. It's Thielen. D-Rock, back to back.
Yeah, hang on a second. You're crossing stuff out.
All right.
I'm going to go with Najee Harris.
Okay.
And I am also going to go Justin Herbert.
Okay. Herbert it is versus who they got this week? New England, is it?
I don't even remember.
Why is
New England.
Why is my heart beating and it's not even my turn over here?
It is your turn, actually.
Well, before that.
All right, because it's nobody wants to buy. And now that everyone's bought at least once, other than Taylor, nobody's had to buy more than once. So nobody wants to be the next one. E.T., let's see if you can take a step in that direction.
All right, I'm going to go with Michael Pittman.
Okay, and the flex with Michael Pittman. I'm also going to go with my flex play here. I'm going to take Kenneth Gainwell, Eagle running back.
I don't like it.
You don't?
Nope.
You don't like it because he's going to score all those points with Miles Sanders out?
I don't like it because it's you that picked him. And that goes for all of y'all in that room over there.
Appreciate you. Tony, you got Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs.
You had three tries to do it, E.T.
He don't like it.
Well, you had three swipes at him. You passed one.
I don't know.
One.
Did you want him or you just don't like it at all?
It just came to my mind to say it.
Okay.
All right.
I don't like it.
He doesn't like any of us. Nobody likes anybody during the Breakfast Bowl.
No, we really don't.
I will go Debo Samuel, please.
Debo. He was on my list this week for sure. Taylor, we'll find out who else is on your list. You need a quarterback, a wide receiver, and a flex. You get two of those here.
Okay. I'm going to go Joe Burrow.
See, that's what I thought D-Rock was going to do. Have you already used Burrow, D-Rock?
No.
I thought you were going with the full hookup, Burrow to Chase.
No, I got burned having two guys from the same team last week, so I'm trying to avoid that if possible.
Okay. All right. It's going to be a big Burrow to T. Higgins week, I feel it, coming on, Taylor.
I hope so. And
who else would you like?
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. Tony Smith.
Hunter Henry, please.
There are a lot. I really like the tight end option.
I know.
This week. I really do.
That was my list. As I was writing, I was like, this is like, I have a long list of tight ends that I could go with this week. And the previous weeks, I didn't feel like that.
I'm going to take one right now, as a matter of fact. And somebody's got to catch a ball in Green Bay or for Green Bay. So give me Robert Tonyan. Hopefully he will follow up last week's showing with another touchdown or so. E.T., need a quarterback or a tight end here?
Mike Gesicki, though.
Okay. So now I'm the last one who has not used Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, that guy.
Yes, thanks.
Yep, he'll be free to me in the future. D-Rock, finish it off, a tight end and a flex.
I'm going to go Zach Ertz.
Ertz.
And CeeDee Lamb.
All right, so you and I going head-to-head at the tight end position tonight. Like it, E.T. Ooh. Coming back for quarterback for you.
Matt Ryan out.
Okay, dog. Matt,
good Matt luck with that.
Ryan, it is. And I, boy.
Wide receiver.
So tempted. I got a big chip here that's a freebie for me. Do I want to use him is the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Or do I want to go in another direction? I will. I'll use Cooper Kupp.
Cooper.
Last one to use Cooper Kupp. Tony, need a quarterback.
Kind of sad we'll never hear that name again this year.
Yeah. No, hopefully we will.
Yes.
Somebody will get a big bad zero when they call it.
I'm not afraid to go with the hookup. Give me Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
There you go.
Okay. And Taylor, a flex for you.
Okay. I am going Courtland Sutton.
Okay, Courtland Sutton. And, all right, here's how it ended up. D-Rock vying for back-to-back losses to go for breakfast once again. Hopefully
he'll
gets in line.
Get that at like 11:30 next week.
He gets in line on Wednesday next week. He's got Justin Herbert, Najee Harris, Jamar Chase, Zach Ertz, and CeeDee Lamb. E.T. Trying not to go second time buying breakfast, trying to dig his way out of the cellar right now with Matt Ryan.
I like it.
Daryl Henderson.
I love it.
Adam Thielen.
Give me more.
Mike Gesicki.
Infatuation.
And Michael Pittman
Come
Jr.
Come on, somebody.
Which of those guys would you trade right now for Kenneth Gainwell, who you passed on three times?
I don't think he even wanted Kenneth Gainwell. No. I just think he just didn't like it.
Just talk the trash talk for him.
Yeah, I feel like I've gone with the low-rent team out of all of us here.
Too,
they do
like.
Look low budget.
With Daniel Jones.
I really like him this week.
Matchup play. Joe Mixon. Matchup play. Cooper Kupp. Can't hold that man down. Robert Tonyan and Kenneth Gainwell. Tony's got Josh Allen, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, and Deebo Samuel. And Taylor, is this back-to-back wins for you, Taylor?
It is.
Is that right?
It is back-to-back.
Enough of this. Joe Burrow, Ezekiel Elliott, A.J. Brown, Kyle Pitts, and Cortland Sutton. I know if one of y'all had DK Metcalf available, you would have taken him. But I'm the only one that has DK left. And you see what a good person I am, because I'm not taking it.
I considered taking Gerald Everett.
I thought about that, too, though.
D-Rock was trying to
you
find
I was like, oh, you two were the worst.
You took a sickie this past week, was it?
Yes, I took a sickie. Worked out.
Yeah, no, he did well.
Yeah, that's why I haven't touched Josh
Hope
Allen
that
yet.
Helps you sleep at night.
Figure out why I haven't touched Josh Allen
this
yet,
guy.
What I'm saving that guy for.
If Josh Allen comes down with some kind of tendonitis, that would be a damn shame, wouldn't it?
That would be great if that was like the first quarter of this week.
You had Gesicki against Jags.
Yes.
Yeah, I had him this last week.
Oh, this last week. Yeah. All right, well, if he played against the Jags.
If there's a player that can play against the Jags, Mike's holding him for
D-Rock and E.T., the two of them would both go down that road. All right.
Mac Jones.
Bottom line.
Stafford.
D-Rock's up by two after 7 weeks, and everyone's bought breakfast at least one time. So we've all made it on Stoff's loser list, on his official loser chart. Our European Breakfast Bowl correspondent, Stoffelis Prime, on Twitter, updates you on a weekly basis. Otherwise, Taylor, how are you doing in Jaguars today, league number one?
I'm on my rebound on there also. I've
are
won
you?
Two in a row now because I think I won my first one, then lost everything, now have two back-to-back. So hopefully
see what
that
I got for you this
too.
Week.
Yeah,
still plenty of time. I need to send out a nice commissioner's message to everybody. We're kind of at the halfway point of the regular season right now. D-Rock, how's your squad doing over there?
Not too bad. 4-3.
Okay.
Hanging in there. Second place in my division. Right behind
the
who is that? Fan Cam and McManus's right.
Yes, Fan Cam's Meathead's Longboards.
Meathead's Longboards.
There you go. E.T., I know I put a knot on that head.
Man, I think you kicked me in my chest cavity, man.
I wasn't that bad. I kicked Tony in his chest cavity. I just kind of kicked
We've
you in
split the last couple of weeks.
I kind of kicked you in the kneecap.
And this is that time of year when you're like the entire bench has Q's and O's and IRs and my entire
last week.
I had teams last week. It was ridiculous.
Hey, I was planning on starting the Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, full New England backfield in a couple of those leagues. And I had to settle for putting Kenneth Gainwell in. And oh, darn.
Oh, man.
Miles Sanders got hurt, and Kenneth Gainwell got him 14 points. Hell yeah. So I'm riding that wave.
I didn't even have access to that. I was having to go to the waiver wire to pick up Brandon Bolden. It just happened to be the right week to do it.
Good week to play Brandon Bolden last week. So that's the life of hardcore fantasy football, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the small things.
Breakfast Bowl in the books once again. My belly's full, and I didn't pay for it. So I think we're all happy on that front anyway.
I can say what y'all want. My breakfast was booming.
All right. Bad luck to all of you this week, and we will
Slow
reconvene
for tight ends.
Next Thursday. It's a big night for one tight end, and his name is Robert Tonyan. Remember that 3-touchdown Monday nighter he had last week? Think that. That's what we're getting tonight, Thursday night special. All right, we'll come back. Question of the day. We'll look at your responses. We'll kick them around. What seems reasonable and what seems maybe a little out of the Jaguars' reach as a trade deadline approaches. With Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T., Taylor Dahl is out the door. I'm Mike Dempsey. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Jaguars Today Thursday.
The times where I've been in huddles and a quarterback was shook. And it wasn't even a big hit. And the game just started. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, looking at the rest of the guys in the huddle, man, this is going to be a wrap for us if he doesn't get his bleep together. Trevor Lawrence hasn't had those moments, which is expected. And we'll give it a pass because he's a rookie. I mean, this dude will get himself up off the ground, even moving within the pocket like you were talking about, and he's looking downfield while his feet are still moving, shoulders are still square, and he's trying to make that perfect throw. That right there is a veteran quarterback that we're looking at.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
That is Nate Burleson, CBS and NFL Network, joined us earlier in the program. If you missed it, you can go back on demand after the show. ET will have that posted up by 12:30, probably. Generally the case.
You know I'm a little quicker than that.
Are you? I don't know. I'm just, you know, trying to give you
a
window.
He always has his bleep together.
Yeah. Hey, might want a nap after that nice breakfast.
Yeah, I do. Thank you, Mike DiRocco.
So, you're welcome.
Just not trying to sweat you, man.
You don't have like an egg allergy or anything like that, do you?
No.
Okay.
If I do, I got an EpiPen right here in my bag.
How about that? Ready to go. All right, ET, let's hit it.
Now, the question of the day, driven by Maserati Jacksonville. Come experience uncompromising luxury at Maserati Jacksonville.
All right, two questions of the day today for you Jaguars today listeners. Question number one, is there a player you would realistically like to see the Jaguars try and acquire before next Tuesday's trade deadline? And if so, who would that be? We say realistic because, you know, there's a limit. I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade you Tyreek Hill, for instance. So that is question number one. Before we get to some of the responses, do you guys have anybody in mind? Is there a player out there that maybe be underutilized by their team or you just think would be a good fit here? Anybody? Anyone? Bueller?
I don't know that I would make a move if I were the Jags.
Okay.
I would definitely don't want to give up draft capital.
Okay. You got to give something to get something, though.
They got a bunch of draft capital late in the draft. I mean, you got 2/5, 4/6, 2/7. So if you're talking about giving away one of those picks to go get a guy that could help you a little bit in the pass game right now.
Won't they have 2/3 as well?
They should have 2/3
right after
the
CJ Henderson deal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, acquiring somebody now isn't going to help them win more games, I don't think. Isn't going to make a significant difference in terms of they're not going to go from 1-5 to competing for the last playoff spot. So I would rather save that draft capital to use to maybe move up in the draft for guys that I like in the draft. And I just don't know. Like, and of the guys that we talked about, you know, would it be nice to get Brandon Cook? Sure, but they're not going to – the Texans won't trade him. I mean, Brandon Ayuk?
I think they might trade him. I don't know if they trade him in the division.
Not the division, right.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk, yeah, I mean, he'd be nice to have, but I don't know that I would be willing to get – what are they going to want for him?
Don't know. That's the thing. I mean,
that's
you know,
the thing. I don't want to
give
you
a guy that I think I even saw him maybe mentioned in the rundown today. Denzel Mims of the Jets, right? Second round pick last year. A lot of people thought he maybe should have been a first. Now, clearly, you're going to lean on your front office and their evaluation and what they thought of him coming out, okay? But I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know how they feel about him, but he's a big bodied guy who ran 4.38. Right?
Pretty quick.
So he's got speed. He's a really good athlete. And I don't know why.
He's buried right
he's
now.
He's buried. Yeah. Right. He's not playing hardly at all. You know, they've got Corey Davis. They've got Jamison Crowder, Elijah Moore, all ahead of him on the depth chart. And even when, like, Crowder was out, you didn't see Mims really do much this year. He just seems like he's wasted away. That is a red flag.
I mean,
it may be, right? But sometimes, you know, so... Okay, maybe
I'd better spend my 6th-round pick on that talent.
Or even a 5th, right?
Like, you know, just to see.
Raw material of Denzel Mims, if you could get him for a 5th-rounder. I don't know that the Jets would deal him for a 5th-rounder.
Right.
But they may, you know, it may be a case of sometimes guys just need a fresh start, right? We're trading away C.J. Henderson for pennies on the dollar. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're like,
right.
Why would the Jags trade a top 10 pick a year later for a 3rd-rounder? Well, you know, and Dan Arnold.
Dan Arnold's played more games than C.J. Henderson has since the trade.
I understand.
Yeah.
But
I mean, more of an impact. Not saying, you know, so obviously. But.
It's just sometimes you don't know how that team feels about it. They may feel like, hey, you know what, it's addition by subtraction. It just is not, for whatever reason, he's not clicking with us. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. I don't know. That's the kind of player I'd be interested in, though, because he's young. He's still got a couple years left on his rookie deal, and he's probably not going to be super expensive. And if you could get him in now, A, you know, before maybe other teams realize, hey, I'd give you a 4th instead of a 5th for that guy. You know what I mean? Once you get in the offseason, there's not that pressure of the trade deadline sitting there. Hey, Jets, you want it? You know, here's something for it. Maybe they wouldn't do it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd knock on the door. Anyway, here's some of the responses we got. Cristiano said, no, save our draft capital for next offseason. Baxter said, Brandon Scherff. For a 4th, a conditional 4th, and a 3rd if he makes a Jaguars roster next year, which is, I don't know if you'd be allowed to do that. He's under contract for the remainder of this year. You might be able to do that. And so he's saying he'd give up a fourth rounder, have an opportunity to get the first stab at signing the best free agent guard out there, you know, having him in. Let's see, a lot of Allen Robinsons. How do you feel, you guys, about Allen Robinson?
It's a no for me.
It's a no for me, too. Yeah. I don't think he'd be any cheaper than a third rounder.
No.
And that, to me, does feel like a half-season rental.
Yeah, I mean, unless you had some assurances that you could get him done to a long-term deal, yeah. if the agent,
I mean, you
gave
could try,
you
you'd have half a season, but...
Right. You could get the indication from the agent that, yes, he's amenable, yes, we can work on something.
If I'm the agent, I tell you exactly what you want to hear for a chance for Allen Robinson to play the rest of the year with Trevor Lawrence and bump his numbers
sure.
up.
If he had three more years on a contract, I'd be much more interested in it.
Different story.
Opposed to being on the franchise.
I don't think, you know, stylistically either that
he's a deep threat even though he doesn't run.
He is, but I think they really want that speed. Allen Robinson would fit in to almost any wide receiver core, but is the ideal guy at the price and the fact that you'd have to give him a top of the market contract on top of that.
Well, what they want is a guy that when he's down the field, the opposing defense goes, uh-oh, we can't let that guy be one-on-one. He's going to kill us.
And correct.
Robinson is that, even though he's not a burner.
Several people have mentioned Brandon Cooks and, you know, like the idea. I don't know if the Texans would trade in the division. Xavien Howard. I saw some Byron Jones. Byron Jones has not been playing great this year. I would take Xavien Howard, even on the contract he's on right now. They're going to need to add more cornerbacks to this football team.
What would you give?
Third rounder? I mean, the guy led the league in interceptions last
year. Oh, no.
You know,
yeah.
He's still in his prime. I'd give a third rounder for Xavien Howard. I mean, you got to factor in the fact that you're taking on a big money deal coming back the other way, and you'd have to have some kind of assurance there that he's not going to want to renegotiate that deal because right. everyone wants to renegotiate
a deal.
Well, what
are you prioritizing as the needs for this team going into
talent.
Next year?
They need a lot of talent.
Well, they do,
talent.
But
right,
like –
but like, all right,
you gotta get stuff
a weapon
for Trevor.
For
you're
Trevor,
building around
okay?
Trevor.
Sure, you do.
Okay.
Right, but you also need guys on the back end of that defense.
You
need pass rush. You're probably going to need offensive line help. You know.
So if you've got guys you like in this draft coming out, I would think you'd want to have as much capital to be able to move up to get some guys.
But,
ranking,
if I could get a proven player.
Yeah,
like Xavien Howard, and I'm giving up a third rounder. Would I rather pay a third to move up and get some rookie corner that could turn out to be C.J. Henderson?
Right.
Well, no, but I would rank corner as at best the fourth need for this team. I would say wide receiver, tight end, and then pass rusher would be their top three needs because you got to get those things.
I don't
think
tight
forever.
End is anywhere near one of their top.
I do.
In my opinion.
I do.
I think they can roll with Dan Arnold. I think they probably will roll with Dan Arnold. I mean,
well, they will because they have him. But I mean, that's not Dan Arnold's not an.
But
I
feel better with Dan Arnold than like look at what's going to happen on the offensive line. How many contracts up? Are you going to pay huge money to Cam Robinson now in a long-term deal?
If he plays pretty the way he's played so far, that might be a possibility.
Okay, but there goes a big chunk of your salary cap and your flexibility. So, I mean, all these things have to be factored
but
out.
But Xavien Howard takes a chunk of your
sure
salary cap, too.
Absolutely. But I just think in terms of going back to Dan Arnold, I think that he's a sunk cost. You know what he's going to cost, and I think he's adequate. I'm not worried about the tight end position at the moment as much as I am worried about getting a field-stretching wide receiver. You know,
right, which wide receivers want.
Wide receiver, offensive line, pass rush. I'd put all that. I'd put corner over tight end me, personally.
Not me. I see what you're saying. I understand. But I know that, like, look, you've got Ben Bartsch ready to step in as your right guard. You probably have Will Richardson ready to step in as your left guard. So now your question is, what am I doing at left tackle? Is it Walker Little?
Is ready to step in the same as – we're excited at these options.
Those two guys are among their most improved players, Urban said. Richardson played pretty well the other day.
All right. Others mentioned Terry McLaurin. Don't think that's all that realistic. Robbie Anderson. Yeah, you know, there's one, right, who's a guy who's, for whatever reason, not clicking at all in Carolina.
No.
And you know what? That's a pretty good one right there. He's shown he can be a deep threat.
No doubt.
In this league. That's not bad at all. Defensive end Barnett from the Jets. I'm thinking with the Eagles. Derek
Eagles
Barnett?
Have Derek Barnett. I don't know about
I don't
Jets defensive end.
Zach Cunningham, again, it's tough to trade in the division. Cunningham coming over from Houston.
He's had a weird year, too.
He has. Cameron Dantzler is a good one. Cameron Dantzler was a third-round pick last year in Minnesota, cornerback.
Yep.
And he was a healthy scratch to start the year.
Yeah.
And there were some trade inquiries there. Clelin Ferrell was mentioned there. Byron Jones. I wouldn't pay Byron Jones the kind of money, the contract he's under. I'd much rather do it with Xavier Howard. Some people mentioned Michael Thomas. Somebody mentioned Andy Isabella. We brought him up earlier. Mm-hmm. That was a good suggestion from CBS. I think that's pretty much the extent of it. And everyone wants to trade Taven Bryan for anything they can get.
For a shorter line at Duncan.
Yeah. For D-Rock to have to buy every week for the rest of the year.
I don't think you'd get anything for him. I mean, you just saw L.A. trade Young, who is still a
Kenny Young,
productive linebacker right now, and they got a sixth and sent him and a seventh.
Right.
To get that deal done.
A seventh bump.
Right. What do you think you're going to get for Taven Bryan at this point when productive players are being traded for that?
Yeah, like you might get a seven, maybe. Six, if you're lucky. I mean,
conditional. Well,
look, if you are though, sure you're not going to bring him back,
and you can get something.
Yeah, yeah. If it's truly the case where you don't think you're bringing it back at all, better to get something rather than nothing. But I don't know.
I doubt anyone would even offer that.
Right. I don't think.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think they're going to be sellers or buyers. They may. They will.
Phone's ringing off the hook.
Try.
Have you not heard?
Both.
It's buzzing.
It's buzzing.
Phone is
we're
buzzing.
Answering. Yeah.
Well, oh, you're answering. Okay.
Urban's answering.
Urban said it.
Urban.
Yeah.
It's buzzing. Phone's been buzzing.
Sure.
Drumming up interest. All right. Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit tireoutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
All right, Matt Hayes is here with us. Matt Hayes, were you guys supposed to be out and about today?
We were, and then Mother Nature kind of mixed those plans.
Might have done that to you. All right, well, what do you guys have coming up for the next 3 hours?
Well, we got Ryan McGee, who's in town with the SEC Network. He's going to come on and talk a little Florida, Georgia. A bunch of other shenanigans, which we usually get into with Ryan McGee. We got Jim Dunn, a former Georgia coach who was the coach of that 97 team that stopped the streak, the losses to Florida. Big
Robert
win
Edwards.
For Georgia in that series. Jim's going to come on and talk about not only that game, but the Florida-Georgia rivalry in general.
All right. What is the sense you get from Gator fans' level of enthusiasm for this game this weekend?
I think if they knew, like if Dan Mullen had come out and said Anthony Richardson's our starter, I think they'd be fired up about it.
Gotcha.
But since they don't know and they all dread the fact that it could be Emory Jones, and more than likely will be Emory Jones, at least starting, the same, you know, in and out that he's done for the last two or three games. Yeah, I think there's a little dread.
Georgia, obviously the favorite. What are the odds you give Florida to pull what would be, I guess, the upset?
Georgia hasn't been stressed on defense all year. I think Florida will be the first team that can stress them a little bit. And if Florida plays its best game, which they haven't yet, they've had problems every game, Florida could beat them. I don't think they're going to. I mean, in fact, I would lay the points. But, I mean, if Florida plays their best game, they're absolutely in that game in the fourth quarter.
All right. Matt Hayes with XL Primetime. More on the road to Georgia, Florida. Florida, Georgia coming up this weekend. Matt, have a good show today.
Thanks, guys.
All right. In studio as opposed to being out on the road today. That's what the weather will do, D-Rock. Probably keep me off the driving range today, which is probably a good thing.
There might honestly. Be ankle deep in water on the driving range.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
pretty heavy out there.
Take a day off. Go home and get a little siesta in.
Nappy.
Yes, a little nappy before Thursday night football, before Robert Tonyan scores all the points tonight. D-Rock, where will we catch you, or what will we see from you at ESPN.com over the next few days?
Well, I had, I'm not sure if it ran today or yesterday, but it might be running today. Just a recap of the fact that they're not getting anything out of that rookie class other than Trevor. And then I'm doing a piece on Jamal Agnew.
You know, nice. Throw a quote in there from Nate Burleson.
I'm thinking about it.
You know?
Thinking about it. He, you know, they need that guy. And to be the – it's like to be the DJ Chark / Travis Etienne replacement, because they don't have anybody that can score from anywhere on the field, but Jamal Agnew can.
All right. We will look forward to all your coverage. As always, hit up Mike on Twitter at ESPN DeRocco. We thank Nate Burleson for joining us earlier in the program today as well. For Tony Smith, for E.T., Taylor Dahl, and D-Rock, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks for listening. Tomorrow, Tom McManus joins us as we'll bring you keys to victory and hopefully another W for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Have a good day, everybody. XL Primetime is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.
Now in the air.
Watch your mouth.